What it is, everybody. Welcome to episode 49 of Fish and Connoisseur a Movie. My name's David Pether, but you can call me Fish. With me, as always, my favorite sack of shit.
Connor McDuff. Hi.
Hi. Well, hello, Connor.
Hi.
49 episodes.
Next week, my God.
Next
number
week,
50.
The big 5-0, and then 2 weeks after that, we've done this for a fucking year.
Wait, what are we doing for number 50?
Actually, there's a few movies that are coming out, so we'll talk about that a bit later. We've got other shit to discuss.
The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Guy Ritchie's new film. Guy Ritchie's new film. So we'll be talking about that in a little bit. But first of all, Connor, you've just posted up a new fucking Star Wars poster.
Look sweet as dicks.
Fucking hell. I'm actually, that's a really cool poster. I really like that poster. Bit of Harrison on the front there, just to, you know, get a little bit of tease.
A little bit of a deep tease. I think all they're doing, the only people that are on the poster are the ones they've shown the trailers, which is cool.
Yeah, well, it's just fine. Look, I really hope they don't pull a fucking Terminator Genesis and fuck people over with trailers. Which I don't think, well, I was about to say it's Star Wars, so they're already going to get the fucking numbers, but then again, it was Terminator, and they're already going to get the numbers, so.
Yeah, but no, Terminator is notorious for being shit. Wait, no, but so is Star Wars. Like,
what are you saying?
I'm a huge Star Wars fanboy, though, I guess, so it's kind of hard for me to hold a grudge against even the worst movies of all time.
This is true. We'll go.
Except for Fantastic Four.
Oh. But that's not. But everybody has a grudge against Fantastic Four. I had a grudge against Fantastic Four going in. So go check out our Facebook page. Check out the new poster, the new Star Wars poster. If you haven't seen it yet, it's pretty fucking sweet. But Connor, I've been watching some other bullshit movies over the last last week.
Go on.
Sharknado 3 is out.
There's a third.
It's a third one, and there's gonna be a fourth one. They're doing it every year.
Are they getting better or worse?
Well, I actually, my favorite of them was number 2. That's the Sharknados in New York, but they're all bullshit. But that's kind of their whole deal. Have you seen any of them?
Sharks in the tornado. I was drunk and I saw the first one a little bit of it. I just remember a woman getting taken out of a helicopter by a shark, and I laughed a lot.
Yeah, that's it. But they're those sort of movies. Like, I actually want to talk about these sci-fi originals a little bit, because they're starting to become a bigger entity. Like, there was a select group of my friends that we used to, every time one of these fucking weird movies would come out, you know, in the video store, we'd go down and there'd be like, you know, Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus. And we'd be like, well, I just got to know what that is. So we'd always rent it out and it'd be a fucking group of us and we'd have a great time watching them because they were so fucking horrible. But the thing is, they know that they're shit. So that's kind of, they're kind of playing on it a little bit. But now it's just like a fucking phenomenon. Since Sharknado came out, like, it spawned 2 sequels already.
It's just monster movies all day.
Sorry?
Yeah. It's just monster movies all the time.
Yeah, and that's a sci-fi thing. Like, I've, you know, Sci-Fi Channel's fucking awesome for that shit. Like, I, just after watching Sharknado 3 on Sci-Fi Channel, they advertised another one called Lava Lantulas, and they are lava-spitting tarantulas. And
Jesus.
I was like, well, I gotta see this. So I've been watching that over the last few days. I can't sit and watch it in one go. But it's like, you know, I'm just having
how was Lava Lancha was?
Yeah, look, it's actually like it's still bullshit, but it's fun. They're all fun. And the best, like the best thing for this movie is exactly what you did, is to get drunk and watch this shit with. Did you watch it with like friends?
Yeah, it was at schoolies.
Yeah. That's like the perfect scenario for one of these shitty movies. At school, he's fucking
like,
trashed off.
We're like all fucked off in bed. I went to, just if anyone doesn't know, when I went to schoolies, me and my friends actually kind of hate the human race, so we went to like the middle of nowhere and stayed at a camp like cabins. Anyway, we were drunk, like, and there were people. My partner at the time was trying to sleep, and so it's her next to me and just three grown men in this tiny cabin trying to be quiet,
watching Sharknado,
pissed and watching Sharknado, and we just started bellowing with laughter. Speaking of movies we've been watching, did I say last time that I've been watching The Inbetweeners? Because I've been watching a lot of The Inbetweeners.
Yeah, because that's on Netflix now, isn't it?
Yeah, I finished the whole season, all three seasons. All three. And I've already seen the two movies. I actually went to the premiere for it. But yeah, it's so funny. Oh my good God. That show is amazing.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the show. I've seen the two movies and I really enjoyed the films.
The show, I think, is on. It's not better, but it's not worse. It's just as good.
Well, that's what I like. The people who were fans of the show said it was basically just an extended episode. So I was like, which is, you know, probably a good thing.
It's great. It's because the movie was amazing, as you know.
Yeah. Well, I actually like the second one a little bit better, I think. I think
we've brought this up a million times.
Probably. I think it was just because it was shot on Gold Coast. There was, you know, they were.
We have. Oh my God! We literally have had this conversation.
Yeah.
Like more than once.
Probably.
Like, I know. Literally. Oh my God. I'm freaking out.
Well, like, that's what happens when you do 49 episodes. You start to overpack. I can't believe we went 49 episodes without me bringing up Sharknado. That's pretty fucking. All right, well, let's start talking about some Man from U.N.C.L.E. business. So you're a bit of a Guy Ritchie fan, is that right?
Yeah, I like to dabble in a schmeckle of Guy Ritchie in my spare time.
You were a fan of the Sherlock Holmes films.
I enjoyed number one. I can't remember it very well, but I loved number two.
Yeah.
And I really liked Snatch and Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yeah. See, I'm the Guy Ritchie. I really like Snatch. Like, I think that was his heyday. Like, he was fucking the man back then. And he really established himself as a filmmaker with that and Lock, Stock. Rock and Roller, I don't remember enjoying too much. I remember being quite bored with it. But I feel like if I watched it again, I'd probably appreciate it. Sherlock Holmes 2, I don't remember liking at all. I remember
people really don't like it for some reason.
Yeah, there's that. You brought it up last week. There's that one scene that stands out with the, you know, they shot with the Phantom camera, the real slow mo shit was really cool. But other than that, it was pretty forgettable from my memory.
Yeah, that scene is the reason I touch myself at night. Like,
it's pretty funny.
I'll probably post it after David sends me 30 texts to post it. I'll probably post it tomorrow up on the page. Actually, no, you guys won't be listening to this. I'll have to post it. When should I post it? I'll post the scene. I'll post the scene because I love it. But it's great. It's my favorite scene. I love it so much. It's so fantastic. It's so amazing.
There's a few things like that in U.N.C.L.E. as well, which we'll get on and talk about because you know, well, it's you know, very stylistic because we got Guy Ritchie at the helm. But first of all, let's just do a quick little plot sum.
All right. Did you write one down?
No, I didn't at all.
Excellent.
So let's just fucking smash it.
Okay.
Just the basic thing. I don't think we need to go through the whole thing, but the basic plot is when is it like an Italian fucking terrorist group start getting the plans to make like an atom bomb right in the middle of the Cold War and the arms race between the US and the Russians to a KGB agent and I don't know, what is it? What's fucking...
CIA.
CIA have to team up. So it's the enemy have to team up to go against a common enemy and hilarity ensues. I think that's enough.
That's good. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That's the shortest part. That's the shortest summary we're given.
Yeah,
we've given.
That's not fucking.
And you're not getting anything more, so fuck you. Anyway, let's
well, first things first, this movie is fucking beautiful. It looks and sounds incredible. Like it's just like a visual feast and a sound orgy in my ears.
I'm definitely a fan of how pretty this film was.
Yeah.
Especially that one scene in the rain where they have that kind of fight, you know, with the, it's kind of near the end.
Towards the end, yeah, where they fight the baddie, the big one of the big bads. Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah,
that that chase scene before that was really cool as well.
Did you enjoy that chase scene?
Oh, I fucking loved it. It was the best.
I really didn't.
You didn't?
No, I honestly, this is actually one of my problems with the film is how lackluster that scene was because it was so long and I don't know what it was. I think it was because nothing really was happening except you're just watching some cars drive. I don't know. I was kind of disappointed, to be honest.
Oh, really? See, that was probably my favorite part of the film. It was quite long. It was quite dragged out a little bit. But I think I was okay with that because there wasn't like a shit ton of action going on, and I sort of was like keen for that. And not saying that, you know, it's out of proportion in any way, because I think it balances itself well enough. But
it fits perfectly into the film.
But I think my major draw card for that is just the fact that he busts out a fucking dune buggy, a fucking off-road beast, and instead of like following the trail, goes up the hill through the brush and stuff. And I really, really thought that was really cool. But when you and like the music in that scene was just fucking crazy cool. Like I just thought it was really funky and it really.
Man, the soundtrack, the fucking soundtrack in this movie.
Yeah.
That's a Guy Ritchie trait, though. Every Guy Ritchie film has an excellent soundtrack.
Yeah. It's also a Quentin Tarantino trait. I felt a bit of Tarantino presence in this one, even though
it wasn't there, but Ritchie and Tarantino share a lot of similarities. They both pride themselves, I think, a lot on their ability to create really witty and fun dialogue, like just amazing dialogue.
Yeah.
And they both create stories fleshed around characters that put into any situation are fun to watch. And it's all about wit and it's all about style and charm.
It's definitely a style thing. Because, you know, Tarantino tends to take from, you know, this 60s guitar style sort of thing, and it's hard not to feel like Ritchie, I'm sure, has done it in other films, but I haven't seen a Guy Ritchie film for a long time. Like I haven't watched Snatch in years and I haven't watched Lock, Stock in years, so I can't really remember the scene. I remember them being cool, but I don't remember ever making the, you know, I'm feeling a bit of Tarantino here. Like I feel it in stylistic way, like just because it's a different style. You know, he's got his own thing going on, which is really cool. But the music in that chase scene was just cool. And but I guess ultimately they just kind of catch up to him and then have a fight. And the fight's cool.
That's pretty much it.
I can see why you wouldn't, now that you're talking about it. But like I think I was just in it because, you know, he went through, the Jeep goes underwater at one point and fucking,
But I mean, I just don't think it comes to par with some previous scenes. I mean, like, one of the coolest bits in this whole movie for me was that scene where, what's his name? Is it Ilias? I'm going to look it up real quick because I'm going to be saying the names a lot.
The chick?
No, the Russian.
Army
Hammer. What is his name?
His name is Ilya. Ilya.
Ilya.
Yeah.
When Ilya's on the boat and Solo gets into
having a fucking picnic.
He finds the sandwich and then it's just this beautiful opera music and he just drops the truck onto the boat.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Well, that whole thing, because you see, you can see in the fucking reflection, and they do it quite a bit in the film. He uses reflections and background sort of stuff a lot, and it's from what I remember is a Guy Ritchie sort of trait. But yeah, just him having, you know, sort of slinking away from this boat chase scene, Henry Cavill sneaking away from that, and then going over and chilling in the boat, in the truck, and just having a quiet picnic. See in the reflection of the window, like, explosions and the boat going back and forward and machine guns going off. And it's this hectic fantastic thing. And then just dropping that boat, the truck on top of it. That was really cool.
Awesome.
And again, it was like, you know, it was the mixture of some fantastic fucking imagery and a sensational soundtrack that just fucking merged it together to make it super fucking satisfying.
It was very satisfying, very Guy Ritchie, and I was a huge fan. It's annoying in a way saying over and over that's very Guy Ritchie, but I mean, the guy's made a name for himself, and yeah, it's hard not to sit here and be like, yep. Yeah, you know,
but saying that, you've probably got them more fresh in your mind. Did you really feel the Guy Ritchie fucking flavor in this as much as you did in other films? Like it's probably more the content of the actual story that wasn't very Guy Ritchie to me. And that might have been why I didn't feel it, but from like I said, it's hard for me to say because I haven't seen him in so long. But from what I remember,
it feels very, very much like it's been written by him. Just the way it's structured and the way everything has this reveal and like the one thing means another, and then suddenly you look from another character's perspective, and now this is happening. Like that is exactly what he does. But at the same time, this movie has a lot of flaws. I don't, just because I can feel it being Guy Ritchie does not mean at all that I think it's an amazing film. I legitimately think his impact is very much there. Like I can see it very obviously.
Okay. I definitely agree with you. This movie is heavily flawed. I tried to bring in the positives as much as I could to kick us off, but I do have some negative shit to get into. But we've kind of jumped ahead and gone into the fucking, we started at the final fight scene. We're working our way back. There was that cool car chase scene at the start as well. That was kind of fun. The whole like, I did like,
that was great.
I did like when she sort of sneaks past, you know, they're both in cars and she's like parked and hidden away from Armie Hammer. And then, she sneaks behind a truck or something as he sort of reverses up to see if she was there. And I like, it was all very well choreographed and a lot of fun. Like when things are going like this, there's definitely a lot of fun to be had in this film. But there's, I don't know. I think the first thing I would probably rag on a little bit is that it's just another spy thing. It's just another spy movie to me. Like, very vanilla in that term. Like, you know, stylistic choices aside that we just spoke about. Yeah. The plot to this is just like a cheap James Bond ripoff. And I know it's based, you know, the Man from U.N.C.L.E. is a TV series from the 60s. So, you know, obviously it's probably being quite faithful to that as well. I haven't seen any of it, but... but back then, you know, even back then, I'm sure James Bond was shitting all over this. I'd never even heard of Man of U.N.C.L.E. before this movie came out. Apparently it's been in like, a bit of development hell though. The rights have been owned by, Warner Brothers for like 20 years, and they've gone over all these different, you know, directors and stars and stuff like that. So, like, at one point, Steven Soderbergh was supposed to direct it, the guy who did the Ocean's 11 films, which I could see. Like, that makes sense. George Clooney was going to be Napoleon.
Thank God he isn't.
Yeah, well, when we get to Henry Cavill, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I don't know. How are you feeling with... Because I feel like the spy thing's making a big comeback, and, like, Kingsman was fucking fantastic as well in terms of style and stuff, but again, it was just another spy thing to me. Whereas, like, I'm excited for Spectre because it's James Bond, and that's, like, the fucking... That's the shit, you know? James Bond has always been the best spy to me. We talked about Mission Impossible Rogue Nation a few weeks ago, and that was like very vanilla to me as well, besides the cool action and style stuff. So it's like, yeah, they're bringing this style, but they're not bringing much more in, you know, in a story wise or a premise.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel as if it's very primitive, like in regards to the fact that it feels like a spy film, you know? It does, and all the beats are, the story beats are pretty much what you see in another spy film. Like it's simply, you know, spy with Melissa McCarthy, that fucking comedy gem.
Yeah.
That, you know, that hits the same beats where you think the person, the one, the best friend turns into a bad guy, but then is a good guy.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, it happens, it is very much like it's the story is not something that really stands out at all.
Yeah.
So I definitely know what you mean, but what do you have against Henry Cavill?
Oh man, everything. He is just fucking horrible.
What, really?
Yeah, he's horrible.
Not a fan?
Nah. I think they needed more star power in that role. They needed George Clooney Ryan Gosling was at one point, and I think...
Oh, he'd be good.
Like, there was a ton of, like, big fucking A-listers, and when George Clooney sort of pulled out, they were like, oh, shit, we'll get Henry Cavill in. He's fucking Superman. And I feel kind of scared now after watching his performance in this because he is a piece of cardboard.
Yeah, I you know what? I liked him.
Of course you did. But
now that you're talking, why can't I just hate things and you hate things? But when you, to be honest, he's not that expressive. No. In this film.
He has, he tries to play the very, you know, the smug James Bond type. Yeah. Which, you know, Pierce Brosnan fucking did well. I kind of relate him the most to Pierce Brosnan because he kind of looks a little bit like him, I guess. Like, Daniel Craig's like a more rougher style, but, you know, that Pierce Brosnan era of Bond and even Sean Connery, like, they're just smug bastards, but they kind of have this charm about them that that gives them... You're kind of, like, cool with it and you like it. You like their smugness because they've always got the upper hand. Whereas just the way he played it, I didn't like. I felt his accent was really like just put on. It was really
super overdone. It was, but it was like that.
It was like fucking radio announcer, American radio announcer sort of shit. And I was like, it just didn't seem right because he's a Brit, isn't he? He's a Henry Cavill. I think he's a Brit.
I don't know. I'll find out for you right now.
Just to have somebody like that in the front, like I liked what he was representing. I liked the way he looked again. Like,
yeah,
I was
saying, he's English, by the way.
Yeah, I thought he was. I really liked the way he looked, and like going back to that visual style of things, like the way he was dressed in this, he looked so smick, and he was just very like imposing. He has like a good presence, but just when he's doing his thing, I just didn't like it. I didn't like what he was doing. I didn't believe him, and I was kind of getting annoyed with him towards the end because I was just like, you're not as cool as you think you are. You know what I mean?
Fuck, you hate shit out of him. I really liked him, though. I thought he was good. Every time I think a movie is intentionally somewhat taking the piss, I enjoy it. From that point, and I felt as if his character is somewhat taking the piss, like that accent and his suave charm.
Oh, it is for sure. I enjoyed it a lot. It is for sure, but it's like every like even James Bond himself kind of takes the piss because it's more not so much of the genre, but of like the people that he's around because he's fucking smarter than them.
Except Daniel Craig.
Yeah, who just
because Daniel Craig's the best.
Who just punches people for being fuckheads. That's why we like him. I know what you're saying, and I know what they're trying to do, and I know what he was trying to do. He just didn't do it for me. It just wasn't working. I felt like Armie Hammer was giving him more. They were almost bouncing really well off each other, and Armie Hammer would kind of come back with something, you know, funny and stupid in Russian, and they would bounce, and it just didn't hit the spot that I think they were trying to do. And that's what I'm saying, like if they had somebody with a bit more charisma, like, you know, George Clooney was doing it in the Ocean's 11 movies, you know what I mean? So it's that's what I mean, like imagine Ryan Gosling, like that would have been fucking cool as, like, that's a whole different thing.
Gosling would have played Gosling as well, which I would have enjoyed.
Yeah, it's always a good thing. But like, I don't know, because I'm now I'm a little worried about him being fucking Superman. Like, he was really, like, I didn't particularly like Man of Steel, but like I thought he was a good Superman because he didn't really say much. You know, like he was a quiet Superman. He's just like a fucking, you know, just this powerful motherfucker, and he was really cool with that in playing that role. And like I said, he has this great imposing presence that works really well.
I don't think he's gonna say don't think he's going to say much in this one either, to be honest.
Yeah, but when he becomes in the Justice League, man, he's got to. He's the fucking, like, one of the leaders. Like, he's going to have to talk.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I think he'll be right, to be honest. Especially because even in the trailer for Batman vs. Superman, he says fuck all. Like, he says nothing the whole way through it, I'm pretty sure. I think he has, like, one line, maybe. I don't even know if he says anything. I can't remember.
Which, you know, I'm happy with in Batman vs. Superman, but he's going to have to come into his own and be, like, the face and leader of basically the human race, you know? Like, so, I don't know. Like, you know, he's not fucking... I don't know. I just hope he doesn't put on that stupid accent. That's all I hope.
What did you think of Armie Hammer?
I did like Armie Hammer. I think he brought a little bit more to like acting chops to it all. I didn't mind.
He's pretty good, hey.
I didn't mind his Russian accent. I thought he fucking did that really well. I believed it by the end, you know, as we got into it. Yeah, you liked him?
Yeah, I didn't know because I fucking hate the Lone Ranger, and he was in the Lone Ranger, and like. Man, I resent that movie. It was so shit. I think that was one of the first shitty fucking movies I ever saw.
It wasn't that bad.
Don't even, sister. Don't even.
I don't understand why everyone hates it so much. Armie Hammer was pretty good as the Lone Ranger, though. I did mind
shitty fucking movie. Anyway, but like seeing him in this, I thoroughly enjoyed him. I was like, man, you're dope. Like, I dig you, man. You're good, motherfucker.
You're
good, motherfucker.
I think he's been kind of like that. Lone Ranger was a big hit for him, like as in a big like blow. He's like, because since then I can't remember seeing him in much at all.
They were really
pushing him as a leading man with that film, weren't they? And like I said, I thought he was okay in it, but he was really good in The Social Network as well. He was the twins, if you remember that.
I never saw Social Network.
Oh, man. Fuck. You need to see that. It's a good movie. But, yeah, he was a twins in that. He played two, you know, he did a twin role where he played two different roles. And he's always been quite a strong actor to me, so I'm glad to see that he's, you know, got a chance to sort of show off his chops. And I like that. I think I liked his journey the most of everybody in the cast, like his character. It was just like a lot of fun because, you know, he's this, you know, hard-ass KGB agent who just is, you know, sort of shoot first and ask questions later, and he has to sort of take on a more softer approach, especially that scene where, you know, he gets mugged, where they take his father's watch and he has to kind of not destroy them because he's not,
and he punches the dude in the throat.
Yeah, that was great. And he's, because he's undercover and he's supposed to be just a married couple tourist in fucking Rome, isn't he? So
there's a huge amount of time of this film given to Armie Hammer's character, like a ridiculous amount of time given to his character, whereas Henry Cavill's character gets, like, fuck all. He doesn't get anything. He's just smooth from the beginning and stays the same. Well, he's pretty much the same guy.
He doesn't change at all, does he? But he's the lead. It's weird. It's a weird feeling.
Yeah. It is, because he's established from the get-go as the protagonist, not Armie Hammer's character. And then it switches on itself, and Armie Hammer is suddenly equally, if not more important than Henry Cavill's character, even though Henry Cavill's character does all the fun shit.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's it. To me, Henry Cavill, or Napoleon, that was his name, Napoleon Solo he basically becomes like the fun, you know, the fun friend in the end. You know, like if this was How I Met Your Mother, he would be Barney and Armie Hammer would be Ted. You know what I mean? Like because Armie Hammer has kind of the romantic connection to the girl. He's the one who changed it. He's the one who has to change his ways to, you know, adapt into this American style of American British style of, you know, dealing with terrorists. And to be honest, I found him much more interesting.
For sure.
Because he starts out as a Terminator. He's chasing them through the streets of Berlin, and then we have to get to know him on a personal level, And I had a lot of fun watching him. I had a lot of fun with that character.
I love the torture scene as well. I love that scene. I don't know what you thought about it, but that was great. It was very, very satisfying.
The Nazi torturer who fucking tries to electrocute him.
Gets burnt alive.
That was another instance where it was happening in the background while they're sort of talking outside and it just catches on fire at the
Yeah,
I didn't mind that. That was pretty cool. There's I don't know. I feel like I wish there was more of that sort of stuff. Like there was some really fun things, and like then there was other stuff where it didn't seem as fun.
Well, I mean, like this movie has it like opens a lot up and never really ties it up properly, or at least it doesn't feel as if it did.
Yeah.
Like the relationship between Army and what's her tits is kind of there, and then it disappears, and then it comes back again. And then like on top of that, there's the bromance between the two opposing agents, Ilya and Napoleon. But it's there, and then it's gone. Yeah. But then it's almost always there. They never really have a sincere argument after their first initial encounter.
Well, that's
like they kind of just get along.
Yeah, and I think that's where I feel that they've really dropped the ball. Like you're having two different cultures collide. They could have had so much fun with it, and they start to, and then exactly what you said, it kind of just okay, we're cool, we'll do this thing, and then towards the end, it sort of pokes its head up again, and it's like I'm good, and goes back into its hole.
Because they start saving each other immediately, like from the get go, they've got each other's backs. Not even as a, like after that encounter where he has to pretend he's mugged, Henry Cavill's a bit of a dick, but I just expected them to be kind of like really, really trying to work alone, and like that, you know, when they're together and they break into the base thing.
Yeah. Well, I was just about to say, that's kind of the only, there's like a little bit of competitive, like friendly competitive nature, but it really shouldn't be friendly.
Yeah, it should be. They should have been on opposite sides. Like, it should have been like them trying to race to see who could do it first or something, you know? Something like that. Or them, like, pretty much trying to beat each other in this thing. And then by the end, you know, you see them. Because that scene where he saves him from being tortured is great. But I'm like, man, you know it's going to happen. Like, I wanted to feel something. I'm sort of like, that's good. Like, I'm glad he's saving him right now. Like, but it didn't. But within saying that, him saving Napoleon saving Ilya by driving the truck onto the boat was fucking great. Like, that was awesome.
Yeah, that's it. Scene where they're breaking into the thing, I would have said that's probably something that could have been later in the film, where they've kind of just accepted that they need to work together, but they're still giving each other shit over who has the better toy and all that sort of thing. There should have what you said, there should have been another scene before that where they're actually going at each other. They'd refuse to work together, which wasn't there, which was strange. The other kind of fun scene, but strange, that there was like them showing off their knowledge of like 60s female clothing. You know, what purse will go better with this thing? Like, that was kind of fun.
Oh, man, that was so... I didn't like that. I was like, not in like a, ugh, boys talking about clothes, just in a like, what the fuck?
But I saw it because that was kind of... I was just like, what the fuck is this? Well, that was kind of the start of that relationship that they've been forced together, and this chick's been forced to be, you know, his fiance and all that. I just saw it as a cool way to show that they're just trying to show off. They're using any sort of... like instance where they can go at each other. Like, I know more about fucking clutches than you do, motherfucker. You know, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But again, like, it wasn't quite as fun as it could have been. I see what they're trying to do, and I get a taste of it, but I'm not laughing out loud like I should be.
Well,
I feel like I should be.
I'm with you, sister.
Yeah. Well, you brought it up briefly, and I thought about it as soon as it was going on. The almost forced, well, it was pretty forced to start with, forced relationship between Ilya and the chick, dude. Gabby or whatever.
Man, that's forced down your throat enough, isn't it?
Like,
dude, God.
Like, look, I'll be straight up. Like, I enjoyed her being drunk and dancing in the background, and then just being like, that was funny. You want to wrestle, sort of thing, and then fucking having a go at him. And but then when they had that moment, I was just like, oh, it's just, it hasn't been there. It shouldn't be there now. I don't care that she's drunk. I need a little more for that. What did you like? I'm almost certain I know what you think. But
no, it was forced as fuck. Like, really, come on, that was. It made no sense. Yeah. You tried to kill her before.
Yeah.
And then suddenly she's drunk trying to... I like the scene, but it doesn't... why is it happening at that point, you know?
And I like the idea of him softening up as we're getting further into the film. And, you know, eventually they'll... You know, he lets her keep the engagement ring. And, like, that's all sweet. Like, I found that quite nice, but there wasn't enough sort of there, like... I got his change, but I didn't get her change, is I guess what I'm trying to say.
I get you.
Because we spent enough time with him, as we said, that I saw him go from being a Terminator to being a softy who maybe would marry this girl. But I didn't see her sort of change because she's just sort of a boss-ass bitch the whole time.
I'm a boss-ass bitch. No, she doesn't really do... She's just kind of cool the whole way through. It didn't make sense from the beginning, and then it's not really ever properly explored. They just have those moments where they go to kiss, and then, you know, wanker, whatever, you know, Napoleon comes back in and stops them.
Hmm. So, what about her? What about Gabby? How'd you feel about her? We talked about her love story, but what about her as a character?
I don't know what to say. She's kind of just bland the whole time.
I know. She's kind of just there. She has a little bit of... The only reason that she's around is because her father is, like, doing the plans for the fucking atom bomb or whatever.
Yeah, she's just fucking there to be fucking there, you know?
Like, I liked her sort of, like... She's a bit badass. She kicks a bit of ass here and there. Like, when she's wrestling fucking Army Hammer, that was fun. And, like, her thing with Army Hammer was fun. But, her performance-wise, I don't know. I thought she was pretty plain Jane as well. Like, when we had scenes with her and Henry Cavill, I was just like, what is this? I'm looking at a fucking piece of paper. This is boring. Then Armie Hammer comes in and does a fucking sweet Russian accent and starts some sort of forced love story, and I'm okay with that. But let's say, well, not okay with the forcedness, but, like, he was fun. Everything he did was fun, but she was, I don't know. If you had somebody else with a little bit more, like, fucking flavor, like, get a Zoe Deschanel or someone like that in there, maybe? I don't know.
Zoe Deschanel.
Deschanel. Hey, don't you say a bad thing about Zoe.
Are you a big fan?
I am, actually. I do. I really like Zoe Deschanel. New Girl's a great show.
I'm not really a big fan. Never really seen.
Really? Have you not watched New Girl?
Yeah, no.
Oh, dude, you would fucking love that shit. You need to get on that. Why don't you like her?
I don't know. I don't like her face. I don't like her fucking attitude. I don't know. I don't fucking like it, all right? I don't like her whole...
Well, you know what I'm trying to say, though. You need to get somebody with a little bit of sass and a little bit of fucking...
Let me just explain to you why I don't like Zoe Deschanel. You've hyped me up now, right? I've got to get it out of my system.
Wow, okay, yep.
The moment I saw Yes Man, she's been this whole like, you know, I'm like sort of quirky or whatever. And like I talk like everything's a question. And like people like me because I'm kind of calm and quirky and fun. And but what? Whatever. Fuck you, Zoe, you fucking bitch.
Hey. No, fuck you, Connor McDuff. Don't you dare say a bad word about Zoe Deschanel. She's a sweetheart.
Fuck Zoe Deschanel.
And I love her.
She's a dickhead. She fucking has the same thing. And then every fucking person who watches it, all the guys are like, oh, I need to find someone who's fucking weird as Zoe Deschanel. And all the girls are like, I need to act like a fucking dickhead.
Shut your fucking mouth. Watch New Girl, and that will change everything. She is still the same sort of character, but New Girl is a fucking fantastic show. You need to watch New Girl.
More like Douche Girl.
Okay, you're a fuckhead, but you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yes, I am.
You know what I'm
saying?
Like, because she's so, like, nothing. If you had an actress in there, like, I don't, like, I can't think of anyone off the top of my head, but if there were, get a fucking Tina Fey or something like that in there, and you're gonna have you're gonna have fun with that character, where there was like kind of no fun to be had with this girl, like a little bit, but not as much as there could have been. Let's move on to the villains or lack thereof in this film.
There's no real antagonist.
Really weird. Why are they, like, they're so there. Weird. They're there, but we I don't know them. We talked about that fantastic fight in the fucking rain. Who was that guy?
I don't know who the fuck he was.
He was driving like a Formula One car at some point, and like he was in some of the pitches.
He was the boyfriend.
Yeah.
He was the boyfriend of the blonde girl.
Yeah, the main terrorist chick who gets a little more time, but not really enough for us to even give a shit about her.
she just gets blown the fuck up straight away, so, you know.
That was pretty cool. I did like that.
I don't know. Yeah, pardon my chair. It's squeaking because I've ejaculated all over into the joints. But it's... That's a...
Just have a little chuckle at your own joke there. That's cool.
Just so bad, but it's sort of true. But
yeah, okay.
But no, I don't know. There's no real bad guy in this movie. Why the fuck do we review movies that are so meh?
Well, this is what I mean. Like, it's
what the fucking say?
The whole movie. Sorry. This whole movie is supposed to just be fucking Armie Hammer and Henry Cavill going at each other, and it's barely even that. We don't have an antagonist. Like, he's there, or he and she are there apparently, and we get them in the end, and you know, he has sex with the main chick, and that's kind of the only sort of time we see her. So it's like, well, I don't know. Like, if you're fucking knocking off Bond always has cool villains. Like, come on. If you're knocking off it, at least do it fucking right.
Well, not even that. Just spy movies in general have a menacing villain.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible, the other fucking week, had a menacing villain, and that villain was pretty shit. But
he
was
sort of menacing, but he wasn't very memorable. He was pretty shit.
But I mean, there was still something there. This one has nothing really.
Yeah.
In fact, the only time I felt like, oh fuck that dude, was the guy who pretty much admitted he was torturing Jews in World War II.
Yeah, but even that guy, I kind of felt like that was just like a stereotype, Nazi stereotype, and I was like, eh.
I agree.
And he kind of came out of left field as well. Like, he was sort of around, and then what? Like, I don't know.
He was the equivalent to an RKO out of nowhere. Like, how did that happen?
Nice.
But
nice.
You know, he's just kind of there, and then he gets burned alive. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah. And you don't even get to see him burn alive. You see him out of focus in the background.
I did enjoy it.
I did. Yeah, like I said, I did like that too. But yeah, lack of villains is... If we had a fun villain as well, like let's say we're talking about having all these charismatic characters, like let's bring in a fucking big dog. Like, let's get a Brad Pitt or a fucking... Let's get Zach Galifianakis in there. You know? Let's make him fun. That's like... Because it's not like exactly... We're saying it. It's kind of a piss take a little bit, this movie. So, like, let's have a fucking stupid villain. Not just an archetype of what could have become...
I don't think it needs to be...
What could have come a fucking Bond villain.
It doesn't need to be stupid. It just needs to be memorable.
Well,
like,
not stupid. But think of Kingsman. Like, fucking Samuel L. Jackson was a totally different villain to any other spy movie.
Yeah.
And he's probably one of my favorite parts, other than fucking Colin Firth being a fucking badass in that movie. But he was really good in that movie. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. I don't know how they keep fucking this up, because it's like kind of filmmaking 101. Like, you need a sick villain. Like, everybody likes the villains better than the heroes. Like, let's be real here. Like, in wrestling, it's always the heels that are the funner fucking characters. You know, everybody likes Triple H.
Yeah. I love Triple H.
Yeah, I know.
I don't even like wrestling. I love Triple H.
And he's such a cunt. Fucking hell. Love him.
And I love is Shawn Michaels a bad guy? Was he a bad guy?
He kind of goes back and forth. He's always been just a bit of a rebel. I saw Shawn Michaels at when I was in Gold Coast. I saw him. He was the wrestling there. They had it at the Brisbane Entertainment Centre. Sexy. Anyway, we're getting away from this. We're trying to avoid just keep talking about this film. Yeah, I don't think I have really much else to say. There was one thing I was disappointed in. I didn't get to go into when we were talking about Armie Hammer. Is I really liked how angry he kind of gets, and in that mugging scene where he's like his fucking hands twitching, and you're like, man, he is about to cut sick. I'm really disappointed that never happened.
Yeah, I wanted to see him kick the shit out of some people.
Like, I wanted really to bad. See...
And I know he can fucking do it.
Yeah.
Because I fucking saw Sherlock Holmes 1 and 2, which had some of the coolest action scenes ever.
Oh, you know that Guy Ritchie could do it, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
To be honest, I was waiting for something the equivalent of the church scene in Kingsman. Like, I was waiting for that. I thought he was going to crack at the end, and it was just going to be, you know what? Fuck this. My cover's blown. I'm going to kill every motherfucker in this place.
I was just waiting for some sort of like cool scene. I was waiting for that scene to be like, man, that fucking scene. Remember that scene? That's the Sherlock Holmes 2 scene that I love.
Yeah.
But it didn't really happen.
No. So, yeah. And the closest, well, for me at least, you said you didn't really like it, was that buggy scene. And that was more Henry Cavill, who I don't give a shit about. That's the fuck. I don't know.
Pretty much.
All right, let's wrap this shit up. Give us your final verdict.
Look, I mean, we've been talking smack about it, and it does have problems, but it is a Guy Ritchie film, and I do like Guy Ritchie. That style and substance and tone is still there, like we said initially. And I had a really good time when I was watching it. I was also with a really pretty girl, so maybe that helped. But I was in a good mood. I feel like I was you watching Fantastic Four a little bit, because I just kind of felt like nothing could bring my mood down.
I was just happy.
But
it happens.
It does. I mean, like, that was us watching Hunger Games, Mockingjay, and then upon reflection, we were like, wait a fucking second.
Realizing that it was a piece of shit.
This was fucking shit. And we were too drunk to realize.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm watching this and I kind of had a good time, you know? Like, I had a really good time. But at the same time, it has a lot of issues. And I noticed them. And it has like four different endings, and that pisses me off as well.
True.
So,
with fucking Hugh Grant coming in, who was totally underused, by the way. Holy shit. He was
fucking
fun.
Revealed immediately in the trailers, by the way. Like, there was no fucking like surprise to that at all.
Nah.
So, GG, dickheads. Anyway, I give it a 3 out of 5. It's pretty much just plain.
Yeah.
But it's got some good style and tone. So 3 out of 5.
Yeah. And I'm pretty much on the same page. I like I said, visually and just stylistically, I would recommend seeing this just on that because it's fun. If you like Guy Ritchie, you're going to like this film. It's kind of like you were saying with the Star Wars prequels. It's like, you're biased towards it because you're a fan. And if you enjoy that style, you're kind of just going to go with it and give whatever he gives to you. And I can go with that for a certain amount. And I did have fun with this movie. I came out of it thinking, wow, that was just, I didn't hate it and I didn't love it. I was just in that weird middle ground that we sometimes hit. And I don't like that. I don't like that. I want to be able to just fucking rag on something or love something. But this was so in between, and it was mainly because it's just such a meh story with a meh lead character and pockets of fun here and there. But saying that, like I did a little bit of research on it before, you know, reading up on Wikipedia and watching trailers, and I even had a look at the old show and all that sort of stuff. And I think of it kind of fondly though. Like, I'm still sitting here being like, yeah, you know what? Like, it's the style of it. Like, that, if it didn't have the style, I would be fucking just tearing this to shreds. But because it has that, it has enough fun. But it is sadly, it evens out, and it's just so middle ground that I'm giving it a middle ground score of 2.5 out of 5.
That is very, very middle ground.
It's as middle ground as you can get. It would be the equivalent of giving a 5 out of 10.
It's very middle ground. Very nice. Yeah. Good job. That's all there.
Yes. All right, well...
Jeez, nice and clean, this one.
Yeah.
Clean kill.
Yeah.
What are you reviewing for number 50?
Number 50. Okay, well... there's a few movies coming out next week. I'm quite keen to have a look at Southpaw, which is Jake Gyllenhaal's boxing film. I don't really know too much about it, but I know I like Jake Gyllenhaal, and I know I like a good boxing flick. Other than that, we've got Vacation, Ed Helms' remake of the National Lampoon's.
Nah, we're not reviewing a comedy.
That's what I thought, because I have heard that it's pretty ratchet, and we probably could rag on it a bit, but I kind of just want to enjoy that movie and not really have to think about it. So,
yeah,
I feel like there is another movie as well, but I'm not sure what it was.
Southpaw. Let's do Southpaw.
Yeah, well, I think Southpaw. I think it's going to be, it'll either be really good or really horrible. So I think we could have a bit of fun with that one. Are you a Jake Gyllenhaal fan? Do you like Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah, he's all right, I guess. Whatever.
Yeah.
He's nothing to me.
I feel like whenever I watch him, like, he was really good in Prisoners. Whenever he does, like, his, like, arty role, you know, like, he'll do his Prince of Persia, and then he'll go and do a movie like Prisoners or something like that, where he can just do whatever the fuck he wants. I feel like he's, like, a Christian Bale. He can transform himself. Which apparently he has for Southpaw, but we can talk a little bit more about that next week on episode 50.
Hey, Margarita.
But until then, guys, get on podbean.com, search Fish and Connoisseur Movie. You'll find every one of our 49 episodes on there, from fucking Equalizer to Terminator Genesis, Jurassic World, fuck it, you name it. If it was in the last fucking 50 weeks, we've fucking talked about it.
Yep, we fucking have. Dear God, he's talking all the time.
Otherwise, get on the Facebook, get on iTunes, subscribe to our shit, share our shit. We're starting to get
on it, you fucking idiots. Sorry.
There's something for everyone. Something for everyone. But until next week, Connor McDuff, what do you say when we are leaving?
Play the music, Fish!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fish and Connoisseur Movie. Fish and Connoisseur Movie does not own any rights to the film The Man from U.N.C.L.E., its marketing, or its soundtrack, and no infringement is intended. The track, Take You Down, is performed by Daniel Pemberton.